Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. My name is Dave Stevens. I'm a B2B marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by B2B marketers for B2B marketers. We provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. And today we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And if you've been with us before, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be talking digital to the head of business marketing at BT, Lisa Daniels, to CEO and founder of Omobono, Ben Danzi, to general manager of Lead Family, Richard Robinson, to vice president of marketing at Yext, John Watton, and to marketing consultant, Lewin Wise. Ready? Then let's cut to the chase. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in B2B land. And we've reached D, and D stands for digital. We've got five experts talking on the topic today, and we start with the head of marketing at BT Enterprise, Lisa Daniels. Lisa, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks, Dave, and thank you for having me. So I wanted to bring some, I guess, some top tips and advice about your digital marketing strategies and how it fits into your wider plans. And there are 10 key points I thought I'd bring to you today. The first point is, I think digital marketing as a phrase is such a broad term, and it can mean many things to many different businesses and different markets. And it really does depend on the objectives that you've got within your marketing strategies overall in terms of the role that digital plays. So I think establishing that role that digital, your social, your website plays for your customers and your business is the first point. I think it's so varied across different audiences, different markets, products with more complex buying cycles, lots of different decision makers within the mix. So I think if you establish the role that you believe to be the most valuable of your digital marketing efforts, that is a good place to start, and also to educate the wider business on what that is, to make sure that you've got the right investments into your marketing approaches through your digital channels. So think about where it fits in your customer decision-making journey. Ensure that you've got a plan for each of the different stages, and also start with what your baseline activity is showing you and what value it brings, and work out any gaps or areas for optimization. So don't start from scratch, start with what you've got and try to leverage and optimize. I think the second point is, what isn't digital marketing these days? I think that, you know, the rise over the last 5 to 10 years of search and video and social media marketing has meant that there isn't a B2B audience that you can't reach and engage via digital marketing, and all the lines are blurred. And I think the old way of thinking about when you talk to business decision makers and what points in the day or the year or the calendar that you might talk to are kind of long gone. And actually, you really do need to think about who is that individual and that customer at the end of the communication channel to make sure that you're resonating with them in the best way possible. So really think about how you integrate digital into your wider plans, and don't think of it as a channel or put lines, sort of solid lines around it. Think of it as many channels that fit within everything else you're doing. So everything should be digital first, especially in a world where tracking and measurement and proving ROI is essential to the role of B2B marketing and the growth of investment. And get your operational foundations in place with your people, your sales teams, your systems, your data and your tools to make sure that your marketing efforts are fully optimized throughout the whole customer journey and the whole funnel, and make sure that your efforts aren't wasted with a sort of leaky bucket effect. Now, that can sound like a really simple thing to say, but I think a lot of organizations don't invest the time in getting those foundations right, which then often means that you don't get the ROI that you could be receiving if you are to optimize the and make sure that your funnel is working as it should. The fourth point is that to review the approach you've got from a digital perspective often, because the landscape changes so frequently. And I think even during COVID, it's accelerated yet again the role of digital in the B2B buying journeys. And I think it's really easy to become complacent or to have automated programs or always on search programs that maybe you leave alone. So I think just making sure that you've got one eye on what is going on and actually if it's still working at the rate that you need it to for your business. So make sure that you've got the right reporting in place and make sure that you're actually really looking at what other new channels are coming along. What role do they play? Are you investing in the right social platforms? Has the audience moved on? So I think there's a lot of things that can move quite quickly if you're not careful. So keeping one eye on that is really key. Set your digital goal achievements. So don't think of your website or your social platforms as not essential, especially if you have got a market where it's very complex or maybe it's not a transaction or it's not a volume sell, because it is essential. I don't think there is a single B2B buying journey out there that doesn't touch on an online channel at some point. So I think that it's really important that you know exactly what your goal is for your customer journeys online. So that might be through calls or chats, data capture, attendance at events, whatever your onward journey is. And I think it's really key to look at those as though they are buying a product effectively and making sure that it meets the KPIs that you've set and your customer engagement needs as well. So really quantify the role of digital in commercial terms as well, so that you can get that buy-in from your wider operational teams, finance teams, commercial teams on investing in the experience and making sure you've got the right marketing technologies in place and making sure that you're really ahead of the curve. Because actually having a good digital experience really does put you at the cutting edge of a customer journey. So it can actually be a product of its own in its own right and a real value add to your customers in the role of research or education. The sixth thing, using the data that you generate really wisely. So be really deliberate about what data you're capturing and plan and automate the actions that you want to take off the back of it. So the timely delivery of follow-up and the retargeting is really essential in achieving success. And if you haven't got all of those workflows in place, then sometimes it can be quite a disjointed journey. So particularly if you're investing in account-based marketing or similar kind of approaches to your marketing strategy, make sure that you've got all the data points lined up and then optimize through your communications. Digital marketing and content marketing go hand in hand, in my opinion. So making sure that you've got your journey's mapped out to allow your customer to navigate different needs, really make it engaging, and don't fall into the trap of producing kind of wallpaper because you're too focused on maybe the technical or the functional aspects, but equally not producing beautiful content that then no one sees, or it's delivered at the wrong time or the wrong place or to the wrong person. So making sure that you've really thought about the end-to-end experience that customer is going to receive, and make sure that it's as relevant and personalized as it can be. And then also making sure that your content reflects the SEO opportunity and making sure that you're tapping into that in-market demand and that you're serving customers based on what they're seeking. And don't be too internal focused about your content based on the story you want to tell, and that make sure that you're tapping into that market demand. Being agile and efficient, I think the growth of digital marketing investment comes with real budgetary and resource impacts because of the content that it requires to be created, the different media channels and so on. So I think really looking at how you can be as smart as possible in the production of all of the things that you need to produce to create a great digital experience is a bit of a challenge, and actually sometimes old sort of functional models in businesses doesn't necessarily lend itself that well to being that smart and efficient about the content production. So I think thinking about how you're structured both in your own team and your agencies to make sure that you can really optimize the production of everything that needs to happen in a timely manner that keeps control of your costs as well. Be creative, so have a big idea that tells a story and make it as interactive as it can be. I think we all see hundreds and thousands of different advertising every day, and it really does, especially in B2B, can become a bit of a sea of sameness. So be bold in your thinking, be really original in the customer insight that you're using, and be brave in actually doing stuff that's a little different. Because at the end of the day, and the final point is really that, you know, it is business to human, not business to business. So don't forget to make it really personal. Make sure that you're finding the right opportunity through the customer journey to bring in your sales teams, and your market, your experts, you know, through the journey as well, so that when there is that handover between the digital experience and then the relationship build of your sales and your business development teams, that you can really capitalize on that. And it doesn't feel like a disconnected marketing journey and then a sales journey. And I think if you can find ways to do that and it tells a consistent story, that's only going to optimize your chance of success at the end of the day from a win rate perspective. So I think really think about that customer at the end of the channel, but also how you're going to create that human interaction and that relationship that will ultimately drive the success of your business. And those are my top points, Dave.
Wow, 10 top tips to get us started. Head of Marketing at BT Enterprise, Lisa Daniels, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our second digital expert is the CEO and founder of Omobono, Ben Danzy. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Dave, thanks for having me. And it is lovely to be here. And I look forward to taking a few minutes to share some perspectives on digital from where I'm sitting in Omobono land. And we are we're a B2B agency, and we believe ultimately that better digital experiences make better business. And I think that's what I'm going to try and talk to you about, is why I think companies that focus on experience, they're the ones that are going to win over the next 12 months, few years. So if I may, that'll be the subject of my my little section of this talk. So in B2B, we've evolved a lot over the last few years. You know, we've all been through talking about products and services. It's not revolutionary to say that we're living in the age of experience. Terms like CX, UX, we're familiar with. But my friend and longtime colleague, Chris Butterworth, came up with this term BX, business experience, a few years ago. And I think we're all not quite sure what it means yet. But I was on a call yesterday where a CTO said CX is everybody's responsibility now. And I literally breathed out because I thought, finally. Because when we launched Omobono, I just thought marketing was a bit like oil. And I felt like when marketing was done right, it kind of brought everything together to actually, you know, give the poor old consumer a decent, connected experience. And I don't think that ever quite manifested itself, maybe because marketing never quite had the weight of authority at the top table. But I feel like now that experience is maybe kind of conceptually that people can kind of understand it from wherever they are in the organization and do something about it, if you like. And I guess my kind of opening position is from in bed. And when I lay in bed and thought about starting Omobono, I lay there and I reflect back to that. And the feeling of wanting to start a company was about trying to give people a good experience. It wasn't trying to sell them a product or anything else. I would just imagine a bunch of really happy customers that we had satisfied. And I think that's, You need to go back to those simple things about, you know, love, life and work, about what it is that we are actually trying to do in the work. So if you're still with me and still listening to today's podcast, there's no difference between B2C and B2C experiences anymore. You know, for poor old salespeople who got very used to living high on the hog, traveling in, you know, certain class of airplanes, going to Austin, collecting air miles, you know, I've got bad news. Pre-pandemic, in-person ordering was about 31%. Post-pandemic, it's more like 19%. So salespeople are not going to conferences as much as they were, and it's going to be replaced by digital experiences. And that's an amazing opportunity for people like Dave and for people like me, because if we get it right, we're going to hopefully eat that 12%, and that's good for us. But I think the pause is that, you know, post-pandemic, people are doing things differently from different places. And I think in terms of sort of digital, that's quite interesting. You know, all of us, we've been through some pretty fraught times. We're different. We've looked at this screen, microphone, speaker, whatever it is, you know, yellow duck that you're listening to this through. We've spent a lot of time with those devices over the last 12 months. And as business brands, we have to really think about that, because whilst we're competing with Deliveroo or Track and Trace or whatever it is, you know, booking my vaccine, which, you know, I am hugely thankful that I've had, those experiences are pretty good. You know, those consumer experiences, and arguably as big global business brands, we should be doing way better. We really ought to have the muscle to go further than that. But I don't know whether we have got there yet collectively as an industry, whether we've raised that bar high enough. And we always used to use this term touch points, which I think was a really helpful currency as a marketer, because it gave us, you know, a coin with which we could go to other departments across the organization and say, look, we're trying to give the customer or the prospect a great experience at this point in the journey, but we need your touch points as well to like bring it all together to deliver that connected experience. But I think the pandemic has thrown a lovely, great, shiny stainless steel spanner in the works of that and raised the bar. So, you know, we have new challenges in front of us, and there are people doing wonderful things. If you've come across Supernatural, it's a consumer product, but they've gone into the, you know, the workout space, and you put on a headset in your home, you have the most amazing workout. So experiences have been constantly reinvented, and we need to do that in B2B as well. So, and I guess the rule of thumb in our business, when we think about experiences and when we're thinking about digital, we always try and go to the problem under the brief, because that's where we believe the CEO, that's where we think she hides information about her customer, her ambition, the outcomes that she has, that she wants. And it's there that I think the totality of the experience that you need to give your customer is revealed in the problem. So how we perceive and compare experience is seamless. Like I've said, movies, Track and Trace, ordering food shop. As our customer SAP Ariba did last year, they found 500 hospital beds in 30 minutes for a customer right in the middle of all this. Unbelievable. And as we have done for a client of ours called Clinigen, who distribute across geographies, across regulatory environments, life-saving cancer drugs. Our expectations of those experiences are the same. We expect, we evaluate, and we erase brands based on these very rapid digital interactions that we have with companies now. That's exciting for people like me and Dave, but it's quite scary if you're that CEO thinking, how do I bring all this together all of the time, every time? And it, you know, it's up to me and Dave and people to help our clients go all in all of the time and reimagining how we engage with customers at every point on that journey isn't just about consideration and purchase. It's about ecosystem, and it's about things like emotion. Deloitte have just come out saying customers are much more less and less about products or focus, and it's all about what they call experience-laden moments from start to finish. I think that's quite nice. And I think the skills that that we are all beginning to assemble for this are quite interesting, whether it's, you know, strategy, technology, creativity, I think is really important and is becoming more important and recognized as valuable beyond simply the kind of design and marketing departments. And, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about case histories, but we've done some interesting things where we have put creative together with great data and delivered useful experiences that transform the ability for a customer to do their job better, whether it's providing stock information for a, you know, an earth moving company, or we did a really nice thing for Miele, the white goods company, for their distributors. We even helped a pharmaceutical company say no to 900,000 job applicants for 15,000 jobs. All of those 900,000 people are potential consumers. So you cannot just say no to them. You have to offer them something in terms of a digital transaction. But the few people that we did hire, we sent them, and this seems prescient now, physical mail packs to their homes to say, when you join our amazing business, this is what your manager wants to achieve with you. So you had this kind of physical connection with the company that you were about to join. So you felt like a rock star and you felt really excited. And that's like, I feel like in 2021, that's something quite exciting and something that we'll do more of. So whilst we at Omobono work on missions to make these experiences better and more seamless, I think there is a, I think there's a more permanent shift taking place. And I think the numbers are about 80% of our CEOs of these big global brands that we serve, that now the entire mechanism of how they go to market is becoming an experience. And that is, that's a shift. And I think if you're a CEO, you need to sort of think about that, and you need to think about, and I'll just quickly run down, if I'm okay on time, Dave, just for a few more minutes. So if I'm CEO, I think purpose, because the generation's coming through now, they absolutely judge us all by our purpose and our honesty and our transparency and trust. It's about innovation, and as CEO, she must stand up and own the whole experience in front of the company. I think for marketing and brand, this is meat and drink. I think for sales, how we bring digital experiences together in making sure that they are available at defining moments in the purchase process. For product, it's about making sure your own data is available at, you know, when you're developing products. When you think about your own customers, a lot of us spend a lot of time thinking about pre-sale, but I think there's a lot that, that we can do in terms of digital experience post-sale. We did a job for a big American bank who were serving another big organization. And we brought together all the kind of, all the small things that they were doing for that end customer into a single portal. So then their human beings could actually focus on the important stuff that really actually changed how emotionally the end client felt about that organization. So I think there's, we find a lot of success working with our clients there. I think the technology, obviously that's what this whole thing's about, but one observation I'm feeling now is, how does your technology serve your own staff? Because I don't think we are doing that enough. My team, thankfully, are so busy at the moment, they can hardly think. But what am I doing to put technology in place that is supporting them and making their life easier? We're so obsessed with the outside that I think we can forget the inside. Supply chain, what's the unboxing experience in B2B, and how can digital, whether you're selling a physical product or a piece of software, what's the unboxing experience that connects you into the lifetime of the digital relationship that you might have? I think there's lots that we can do there. And finally, all of us operate now in some kind of ecosystem. Supply chains are becoming ecosystems because through APIs or whatever it is, we're so connected in passing a customer right through that journey. And getting that right and thinking about how your bit of it is seamless with the other people in that supply chain, again, makes a massive difference. So I could go on and talk about the habits behind that, but I'm just going to sum up with, I think, you know, if I'm a CEO in one of these organizations in 2021, what's changed is that literally the walls of our organization have been wiped away. You know, there are no departments anymore. We're literally one global, virtual, connected team. And I think, you know, our CEOs have got to stand up and say, look, that's changed the landscape profoundly. And it creates a completely white space where we can say, we're all in it together. We have one target, which is the customer, and we have one language, which is experience. And if we all get behind that, we have a chance to do something different. And that, I think, is cool. And Dave, I hope that was helpful and interesting.
That was helpful and cool. Ben Danzy, thank you very much. Our third digital expert is the general manager of Lead Family, Richard Robinson. Richard, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. Yes, as Dave's mentioned, I'm Richard Robinson. I'm a general manager at marketing gamification platform Lead Family. As a little background, I've spent the majority of my career in data, digital and technology marketing, building businesses through highly effective marketing and digital strategies. Today, I'd like to spend a few minutes with you just sharing some thoughts around digital, specifically about what issues are facing digital marketing in B2B today and what firms should be thinking about to take full advantage of these opportunities. Let's start by casting our minds back. A few years ago, an organization called the CEB released some research stating that B2B buyers were almost two-thirds of the way through their buying process before they'd even bothered to speak to a firm or any of its salespeople. For B2B, this was a complete shock. We've always thought about the buying process being, in the main, long, complex, people-led, expertise-led. That's why we all have such large and well-paid sales teams. In our minds, it was their expertise that finds and closes the opportunities. But as I said, CEB research shone a very different light upon this. Seems almost crazy or naive to think that most businesses hadn't realized the dramatic shift in digital in that buying process, but that's the situation. It's almost the classic situation of us trying to keep up or failing to keep up with our customers. If we fast forward a few years, the situation has accelerated. In fact, it appears as though the chaos of last year has driven a shift in behavior further and faster than before. Forrester now believe that 80% or more of the sales cycle actually happens in the digital environment. But we're now in a time where businesses and marketers are realizing the importance of this shift, and we're now building to optimize a digitally centric approach when it comes to sales and marketing. Because of the pandemic, the virtual loss of field marketing, outside sales and in-person events has created a massive shift in virtual events, online information discovery, consumption and engagement by our buyers. And we as B2B marketers have to make significant changes from our legacy tactics to digital. As a result, we've seen a huge shift in B2B to digital formats. According to Singular, 76% of marketing leaders today say that digital transformation in marketing technology is the most critical focus for them during 2021. But digital is an all-encompassing term. What practically should we as B2B marketers be thinking about to match up to these challenges and keep pace with our customers and our prospects? In my mind, there's three basic things or foundations that we need to have in place. Now, I assume most of us have these basics in place, but it's worth just revisiting them to make sure. The starting point for me is your website. You need to make sure that your website works, that it's being built with the customer experience at its core, so that it's easy and intuitive to navigate. It's populated with content that matters to your prospects. It's engaging and confirms not only the what and how about you and your products, but also the why. Secondly, it's around your site and the content being found. So search is still important. And this includes both SEO and SEM. Unfortunately, in a world where buyers are bombarded with a tsunami of content and advertising, it's certainly not the case that if you build it, they will come. You have to be found. They have to be able to find you, and search is still a vital tool for that. It's interesting to see that search is still really highly regarded by buyers as being a trustworthy place to find information, more so than traditional media and even content sites. The final critical basic building block is around syndication. And by this, I mean ensuring that you have your content where your prospects are. This may be through social, maybe through partners, maybe through publisher channels. Again, make it easy for your target audience to find your content. Once you have these foundations in place, I think you can start to then build out your digital presence. But to do this efficiently and effectively, there is a magic ingredient, and that is data. In my mind, the number one issue facing brands today, irrelevant to whether you're B2B or B2C, is data. Digital is an amazing place for you to capture that data as well as use it. However, the data regulations driven by GDPR have been in place for a couple of years, now have changed the way and the type of data that we can collect, store, and use. That was a big change for companies. However, in terms of advertising, we're about to go through an even more seismic shift. By the end of this year, many advertisers are going to see that their options for advertising online are going to change. Google is switching off third-party cookies in Chrome next year. With this, advertisers' ability to target based on those cookies is simply going to vanish. For B2B marketing, this means that targeting industries or filtering out certain company sizes is simply not going to be possible, because that's what third parties do. This is likely to strengthen the control of advertising spend on the big three of Google, Facebook, and Amazon, who already control almost 70% of digital spend within their walled gardens. So in this case, it's really easy for businesses to blindly put their faith and their money in the data and algorithms run by those vendors. But we need to be aware of the challenges, restrictions, and dependencies that go with that. In addition to this, Apple, with its iOS 14 updates, is restricting privacy around third-party cookies inside their walled garden. And the impact of this change is already being seen by many companies out there. You simply can't use that data to reach those audiences outside that environment. With the changing landscape and decreasing availability of data, particularly third-party data, brands have to change their strategy. For me, it's critical for brands to collect their own first and zero-party data. This way, they're able to better control their own destiny and be able to provide high levels of customer experience that buyers are looking for, not only digitally, but across all aspects of their business. Building on the importance of data further, then personalization is now critical, even in the B2B buying process. And personalization is powered by data. The loss of cookies and the move to first-party data does create opportunities for greater personalization in B2B marketers. Buyers expect more meaningful and useful content and experience, and personalization is the only way to be able to do that. Before I get too far down the rabbit hole of data, let's get back to digital proper. Once you have the basics in place that I spoke about earlier, there's a few digital tactics that I think it's worth looking at to bring into your marketing mix. And to be honest, they're all pretty much based around content. If you're not already providing video content, then you really ought to be looking at it. 70% of B2B buyers watch product videos as part of their research process. It's a critical buying tool, so therefore it really should be as part of your marketing and selling toolbox as well. Again, using the principles of site, search, and syndication, to host, share, and promote that content. I don't know about you, but I've become an avid consumer of podcasts. I guess you must have some interest in podcasts, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this now. For me, podcasts have become a core part, not only of my entertainment, but also my information gathering. The spoken word has been a key part of communication mechanisms since humans first began to form words. Podcasts are simply a digitalization of this, and is something that will continue to grow. I'm seeing the evolution of a one-off podcast into concept of episodic content, where shows or packages of episodes are being used to educate audiences and lead them through a journey. And I'll be honest, the BMC are a great exponent of this in the B2B marketing world. Podcasts are definitely something worth looking at, as are other engagement or voice engagement tools such as audio social network Clubhouse. This is a good example of content syndication that I've mentioned before. Be where your audience is. But just to put a caveat around that, make sure your audience is actually there. So I've talked a little bit about video and audio. Next up for me is interactive tools and content. Research shows that interactive content is 23% more effective at educating buyers than static content. From experience, I've seen average engagement times of anything of up to 4 minutes for digital gamified content, whereas engagement time of the display ad is around 1 second. Interactive content allows you to educate, engage, and immerse your audience in experiences that create those memorable moments. Another great unforeseen consequence of interactive content is that with higher engagement rates, which is used as part of digital advertising campaigns, can actually reduce the cost of your media platforms as their algorithms tend to reward highly relevant and engaging content. One absolute benefit of digital is that pretty much everything anywhere can be measured. However, this can also be a burden. In my mind, just because you can measure it doesn't necessarily mean that you should. I've seen organizations obsess over click attribution models, panic over click-through rates, bounce rates, and dwell time. As with everything, ensure you measure what is appropriate and relevant to your particular activity. That said, measurement can provide a very powerful tool for improvement, which leads me to another critical benefit of digital, something that really you ought to be doing, and that's having a test and learn strategy. Digital provides you with an opportunity to run A/B or multivariate tests. By doing so in a controlled manner, you can make huge impacts on your business. Let me give you an example. It's a little bit old, but still really valuable. When I was at Google a number of years ago, we ran a series of tests to see which shade of blue had a higher click-through rate on our search ads. After testing something like 42 different shades of blue, we came up with one that had a slightly higher click-through rate. And by implementing this color in those ads, the company drove an additional $300 million worth of revenue. So test and learn, everyone, it's worthwhile. The final point I'd like to share is to make sure that digital is not seen as a separate thing, a siloed element of your marketing, your business. The true power of digital comes when it's fully integrated into your business and marketing. Your customers are not one-dimensional, that is one channel, either offline or online. They want to have a consistency in experience across all channels, and you cannot provide this if you have siloed digital structures. So as a quick summary, make sure that you have a digital basics in place, that site, search, and syndication, including your social elements. Secondly, digital is a great source of data, but it's also a hungry consumer of it. Work on developing a data strategy that includes zero and first party data. Thirdly, in a digital world, content is really important, but be aware that buyer behavior has changed. Interactive audio and video content is key. And finally, test and learn. You'll be able to keep pace with your audience, and it will help you deliver the most from your digital strategy. Thank you for your time.
Richard Robinson at Lead Family, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our fourth digital expert is the VP of Marketing at Yext, John Watton. John, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hi, Dave. Good to be here and delighted to talk on the topic of digital. Well, you know, I wanted to go into a specific area in digital and sort of share my thoughts on that. I think whilst we've seen a lot of innovation in digital, and of course, over the past year with the pandemic, I think, you know, many of our speakers talk on the topic of how we've had to go digital. I think my feeling is that there is going to be a turn in terms of how we use digital, because we've seen a lot of innovation. We've seen a lot of focus on personalization and tailoring campaigns, interactions based on behaviors, but it's going to be increasingly harder for us to continue on that track and think about really the two areas of digital that we use in B2B marketing, inbound and outbound, if I can broadly categorize it like that. Outbound, I mean, we're predominantly talking about email, which of course we've managed to automate and build based on behaviors. But the challenge with email is increasingly around privacy regulation and getting opt-ins and also being able to personalize that email based on behaviors. I think we're going to see a big pressure on privacy that stops us being able to do that behavioral and personalized based email. And on inbound, as we know, sort of cookie laws, ad tracking is making it increasingly harder to retarget and personalize. So I think that was pretty creepy anyway. And was that the track we wanted to go down? But I think with all these things, it's meaning the course we've been on this kind of hurtling down to really being able to tailor everything based on understanding someone, who they are, where they're from, what they do, you know, who their family is, whatever it may be, is gonna sort of run out of steam. And also I think we're becoming increasingly nervous about putting our most valuable data into the hands of third parties, such as Facebook and Google. So, you know, a lot of maybe doom and gloom, I still think digital is a key part of what we do in B2B. But I think really there's an area that we all could focus on and is not really prone to some of the issues that I just mentioned. And that is really in search. I think, you know, the last bastion and the opportunity is in how we as marketers leverage search. And by search, I'm not talking about Google. Everyone thinks about SEO. I'm talking about all the other places our prospects search, and particularly our website. Now, we've all gone to great lengths to rebrand, redesign, reorganize our websites. But there's one area that hasn't had a makeover, and that's the search on our website. You know, we've all got fantastic looking websites that are digital first, mobile first, responsive design. But there's this secret little corner of the website that still is very much stuck in the 90s. And that's because site search hasn't really changed since the 90s. In fact, the last innovation in site search technology was the release of Lucene in 1999. So that element of what we do in our digital strategy is not fit for purpose for 2021. And what we're providing on our website is really like Google from 10 years ago. Now, when we go to Google and we search for the capital of France, we get the answer Paris. I bet if you go to any B2B site and ask a similar question, you don't get the answer. At best, you'll get a list of blue links, which is like telling you, you go figure it. I don't know. You can have a look around and find the answer. And at worst, you'll get nothing. And forget about asking a question in natural language, which is what we're all used to doing now on Google. Well, why does that matter? And why is that so important? And why is that a great opportunity in digital? Well, I think, first of all, we are all conditioned now to get answers. So firstly, it's a crappy experience. We are used to going to Google and getting an answer, not getting a list of links and being told to sort of figure it all ourselves. So it's a crappy experience, and that's likely to impact our loyalty and attracting prospective customers. But secondly, if your prospects or customers don't get the answer they want on your website, we'll probably bounce to Google, right? We'll all go to Google and go back and ask that question. And you know, we all know that Google is fundamentally an ad engine, not a answers engine. So you'll get a whole bunch of ads from your competitors. At best, you'll be able to buy your way to the top, which means at worst, you're buying that very same person who came to your website to come back to your website again. So it just doesn't make sense. I think the third benefit is really, it gives you a huge insight. If you're able to answer questions on your website, can really get great insight and build a relationship with a customer or prospect that doesn't need you to cookie them, find out about their profile, their persona. You can just answer their question, whether it's about your products, whether it's a sales inquiry, or whether it's a support inquiry. If you provide a platform on your site that is powered by natural language, gives answers to questions, and allows customers or prospects to ask any question you want, you're going to really gain insight, because you can start to understand what people want and where they get it, and you can give that amazing experience. And as I say, the beauty of that is it doesn't require any tracking. You're having a conversation that gives them what they need without really building and intruding on, you know, all these privacy issues. So my view in 5 minutes on digital is that if you want to get great in digital, there are many things you can do, but providing a search experience built for 2021, not 1999, is probably the most productive way for you to be successful. Thank you.
John Watton, thanks very much. Our final digital expert is marketing consultant Luanne Wise. Luanne, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave.
It's great to see you, and over to you.
Thank you. So D is for digital, and wow, digital is a big word. In marketing, it didn't even exist when I first started studying and working in this industry. We didn't have smartphones. We were just starting to turn brochures into websites and enter the details into a search directory manually. Do you remember Ask Jeeves and having to go in one by one? That was one of my first jobs. But now it feels like everything is prefaced with digital. Some of us are digital immigrants, learning to engage constantly with these new technologies. Some of us have grown up with it and don't know anything about life without Google or Apple. So in 2021, do we need this extra word? Is there really a clear division between digital marketing and traditional marketing? Isn't it all just digital now, or is it multi-channel? Anyway, the use of the word digital could cover a whole podcast series on its own, but today I've been asked to talk about digital trends. Easy, I thought. There's a whole bunch of great looking articles when you Google digital trends, but what is truly a trend and what's just business as usual, or should I say business as new normal as we work through these strange pandemic times still? To some level or another, we've been forced to be more digital over the last 12 months with working from home, daily use of Teams, Zoom, many other technologies for collaborating remotely with others. Are these changing behavior trends? We don't know just yet. But apart from that, what else are we seeing? Well, in the world of social media, where I spend most of my time, it's all about audio and Clubhouse. They celebrated their first anniversary on March the 17th, with their official launch being just September the 14th, 2020. And latest reports are for over 13 million downloads of the app, which is incredible as it's invite only and still only on iPhones. Not surprisingly, the other platforms are all now working on audio only features, and we can expect to see these rolling out very soon, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. In response to COVID-19, social media platforms responded with a number of feature changes and support tools. These were a lifeline for many businesses, particularly retailers. And we've seen a number of e-commerce and shopping features in particular. So I would count this as a digital marketing trend. Social media users research products and services using the platforms. So this link between social and e-commerce happens. It happens at all stages of the marketing funnel, from awareness through to conversion and loyalty. And then video. Video, it's been on the increase for a number of years. And as we're getting used to living life on Zoom, we're also realizing the importance of showing up on video to speak with our customers, demonstrate our products in a TV show sort of way. And live video too. You can do this on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, still slowly rolling out their feature. Video is incredibly powerful as a way of communicating and connecting with audiences. But we know it's not easy. There's still a big fear of doing video. It can take some prep and practice, but it's certainly something that does need to be part of your content mix. Video, as we know, is about storytelling. And we're seeing the stories feature on social media taking over the main news feeds. More than 500 million users interact with Instagram stories every day now. We're spending more time creating and sharing content on our mobiles, so I really would include stories and video in my digital trends list. In particular, over the last 12 months, video has become less polished, less scripted because of lockdown restrictions. And I think that's good. I think it's been a challenge for some marketers to learn that it's okay to do things without a big production team behind them, but it's authentic and people do like that. So for me, audio, social commerce, video, and stories are key. And overarching these trends is the need to stay agile. We've learned so much about this during the pandemic and through other world events such as Black Lives Matter, needing to adapt our content, show more empathy in our communications as people look to buy and engage with people they know, like, and trust, and buy from brands that have shown a really clear purpose and values that align with their own. Clear, consistent communication has never been more important. And as marketers, we're lucky to have digital tools to enable us to interact with our audiences in real time. So I'd like to end with the importance of acknowledging that there is always something new, and new is usually digital. The world around us is changing, our behaviours are changing, the marketing tools we have are changing. So it is, of course, important for us to know what's happening and to embrace this positively, but it's also critical not to get distracted. As marketers, we love the all new shiny things, but we mustn't forget the fundamentals. The basics of marketing I studied over 20 years ago, knowing your audience, knowing what problems you're solving for them, knowing what's going on in your marketplace, the macro, the micro, the pest, the SWOT. In a digital world, they are all still relevant.
Marketing consultant Luann Wise, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Lisa Daniels, Ben Danzi, Richard Robinson, John Watton and Luann Wise. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn and Josh Bench. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.